Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Straight Bet Sports with Jose V. I am Ian B, and I am your host this evening. I am joined in studio with Chris Wynn. Fortunately for him, Jose is back in Mexico, so he is not going to be in studio with us. He's on vacation with his family. I am joined again with Chris Wynn. As always, please subscribe, like, tweet, retweet. Make sure that you're following us on all social media platforms. And if you have anything to chime in to tonight, just 702-608-3259. Make sure that you give us a call. So, Chris, before we get into everything, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great because we are, just maybe 24 hours away from, we had the first preseason game go down last week with the Raiders and the Jaguars going at it. But now all us other fans, Ian Bradford, his Philadelphia Eagles, will be in action this weekend. My Detroit Lions will be in action this weekend. Kwan's San Francisco 49ers will be in action this weekend. And so you get a chance to see all the other teams that'll get a chance to hit the field with their helmets and uniforms on and get a peek at some of the squads out there in the NFL.
And absolutely. And unlike the Hall of Fame game, a lot of these coaches have come out and said already that this preseason, they're going to be playing a lot of their starters, at least for a series or two. So we'll actually get to really see a little bit of what these offenses and defenses are going to start doing. So first topic of discussion we have tonight is going to be Kevin Durant, right? He makes this big ultimatum with the Nets organization, says, hey, trade me or fire Steve Nash and Sean Marks. He wants the GM and the coach out of there. So we've heard this before with Kevin Durant, right? This is not necessarily this ultimatum, but he's already requested a trade. They've already started scouting out who's going to trade for him, right? So we've already gone through this little, whatever you want to call it, Ferris wheel, right? What changed now? What's different now versus then?
Well, it's a good question. First of all, it's pretty much ridiculous across the board that you have a situation where a player would make an ultimatum like this, that absolutely they have zero credibility whatsoever to make this type of demand. There isn't really precedent for it. I mean, there's not from what I've followed or covered the NBA for 40 years almost. I've never had a situation present itself where you had a player. They said derogatory things, obviously, about the general manager at times. And of course, the head coach, there's been situations like that. But it's always been, the player's always been wrong doing it. It's always been a bad idea. So to me, I think, I just kind of take the approach of Kevin. Just, look, focus on what you do. You're KD. Exactly. Okay, you're one of the best players in the NBA. You're one of the best players in the league. The reason they brought you in there is because they want to win a championship, and you could be a very important part of that, along with the rest of your team, to win a championship. And by the way, that's the reason they brought in Steve Nash. We all have our criticisms regarding Steve being essentially extremely wet behind the ears as a head coach. The guy just got off the court.
Yeah.
And yes, there's been a kind of a run of a couple of coaches that have done that, where they basically turn their uniform in and they end up, as a head coach on the bench. So to make this ultimatum regarding regarding the Nets firing both their coach and their GM, and that's precedent on you actually playing for the team. It's a no-win situation for Kevin Durant, and that's the way I look at it.
First of all, you don't have that type of power.
No,
but no player will ever have that type of power.
Absolutely
in my
not.
Mind because yeah. these owners are making billions, you're making millions. There's a difference, right? But it sets kind of like a nasty precedent of, I've only been here a couple years. I don't like how I envisioned it, so I'm going to force your hand to get me out of here.
Makes sense.
I don't like it. Obviously, he didn't like how they handled the whole Kyrie thing. They didn't, you know, the James Harden, getting James Harden out of there. There's rumors that him and Ben Simmons might not necessarily get along. So the moves that the GM has made, Sean Marks has made, might have caused this, but at the same time, you can't just force these guys out of there. It's not the first time a player's tried to get a coach fired. It won't be the first or last time that they actually succeed in getting a coach fired. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think that Joe Tsai is going to put his foot down just because of all the shenanigans around this. Like, this has been an ongoing thing this entire offseason. The Nets have been in the headlines forever now, and it's not a good look for the organization, and it's not how their front office should be ran or they want to be ran. So I think that they're going to put their foot down, and Kevin Durant, he's under contract, forgive me if I'm wrong, but like 3-4 more years, correct? Yeah. Like, they just signed him to a very big deal when they acquired him. So it's not like they're in any rush, right? Like, it's not like I'm going to be a free agent next year, so you have to trade me now. No, we'll sit you. We're paying you, might as well, right? No matter what, we're going to be on the hook for millions. So I think they just sit him down on the bench if it comes down to it. But I think ultimately he will play. He might play begrudgingly. He might not give his all, but he's going to play. For the Nets organization.
A couple interesting comments, Ian, on the Facebook feed here from Straight Best Sports. Eddie Martinez says, KD's a great player, but with all due respect, he's a drama queen, and he's messing up his legacy, to be honest. And then Jose chimes in from Mexico. Jose says, look, KD's great, but it's said that players are starting to get this type of power to request these types of things. His legacy as well is in question. That's what Jose says, if you ask me, fellas. Yeah, I mean, here, look, I talked about precedent. This is not something that has ever gone well for any player.
No.
If you and you try to do this. And look, you made the point regarding maybe he's trying to force their hand. I think you have a solid take there in that. It's so outrageous from my standpoint. It's so ridiculous for him to even suggest that. Not just the head coach, but the GM. You want them both fired. It's so bad. It's so bad. Yes, I'll use the word bad. That maybe the Brooklyn Nets say, yeah, maybe we try to find a best situation as far as a trade partner. Maybe we try to get value. Maybe we try, you know, maybe we try to make the best of this not having KD on the team, getting off the team because of these comments. Because, yes, it's gonna cause a rift. I mean, I don't know. I mean, sit the whole year. Are they going to make him sit? I mean, Kevin Durant. He's an NBA player. As much as he talked about it and as upset as he'd be, I still think he goes on the court and plays next year, even if it is in a Brooklyn Nets uniform. So I don't know if necessarily the Nets would take that drastic a step where they would just sit him out for the season. I mean, I guess they could, but it would be a you-know-what storm in Brooklyn, New York, because the fans would go nuts.
Absolutely. And I definitely think that it does actually hurt his legacy. I think this whole charade that he's had since his career started really has hurt his legacy, because if you look back at OKC, right, is they didn't put enough around him, or they just didn't play well enough, so he forced his way kind of out of there. They blew the 3-1 lead to the Warriors, went to the Warriors the very next year, won the rings, won the final MVP, so he looked good. But at the same time, there's the, you know, basically people were saying that Steph is still the best player on the Warriors, so you're not really achieving much by going to a 73-win team, right? So then he decides, I want to go to the Nets, because he, in his mind, is, I'm a facilitator. I'm going to be able to bring anyone to the promised land, right? And he wasn't able to do that. Before 2 years, he's already requesting a trade. That's unacceptable to me. But I think Adam Silver kind of has the right idea. He's mostly spoken out against players demanding trades out of their organization, especially when they have multiple years left on their contract. But going with that, you also have like the NFL, right? We'll transition to the NFL with this. And you have Roquan Smith, right, of the Bears, the linebacker for the Bears. Mm-hmm. He just requested a trade out of their organization. He is claiming that they basically have negotiated his contract in bad faith, right? And he doesn't believe that that organization is the place for him, even though Ryan Pace, the GM for the Bears, has said we are planning on signing him here, right? Then you also have Kareem Hunt with the Browns that just requested out. His is probably a usage issue. You know, Nick Chubb is their RB1. He probably wants to be the RB1 somewhere. I can understand that. But it seems like Goodell doesn't necessarily have an issue with the NFL in whole players, star players, requesting trades out versus Adam Silver going and saying that's not acceptable.
Well, a big difference between the Kevin Durant situation and NFL players just requesting trades. Happens all the time, right? Players in the NFL feel that they want to go to a better situation, right? They want to be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond, whatever. You know, there's all kinds of reasons, and players do it all the time as far as NFL players. The huge difference, obviously, being that Kevin Durant took this extra step,
yeah,
and said and proposed this preposterous notion that they would fire the coach and the GM. That's not what. See, you don't see NFL. You didn't see Roquan Smith say, get rid of our head coach, get rid of our GM. Yeah. You don't see Kareem Hunt saying, bounce out our guy, our head guy. That's and true. You know what I'm saying? So they're completely different situations.
But
with respect to Roger Goodell, the way he handles it, Roger Goodell just does what he can do when it comes to, he wants to make it as under the radar as possible, right? As far as any negative exposure when it comes to the NFL, when it comes to the Shield, right? But at the same time, I'm sure like anybody would want to do in that position. He's like, hey, if you feel like you have a better, you want to have a better situation somewhere else, and you just don't feel like it's a good fit for that organization, fine. But the difference being, of course, is you're just talking about Raekwon Smith's situation. You're just talking about Kareem Hunt's situation,
yeah,
or name player X from another organization. They feel like they're it's better for them to leave the organization and go elsewhere and play elsewhere. That's fine. Okay. But the big difference, obviously, with Kevin Durant is that he's asking for a bunch of other stuff too, just to stay there, allegedly, just for KD to suit up in a Brooklyn Nets uniform again. Oh, yeah. By the way, I need to have a new head coach and GM. I mean, come on. So I have no problem, to be honest with you, with NFL players if they have legitimate reasons and if they, you know, they feel like they would be in a better spot somewhere else, do it. Or try to get yourself in a position
to
where
win.
You feel like you'd be more successful.
Well, with the Adam Silver thing, he even spoke out against, Anthony Davis when he had requested his trade out with the Pelicans, remember? Mm-hmm. So he had said, like, he doesn't like superstar players doing it. And I understand Roquan Smith. He is a star player, but he wouldn't be a superstar, right? Deshaun Watson or Kyler Murray basically saying, extend me or I'm out type thing. That's more of a situation that would be similar. But do you have an issue with professional players asking? Because it seems like it's becoming a common thing. Like asking,
I don't have a problem with it because it's kind of like free agency to me. You know, procedurally, it's different. But the mindset's the same. The mindset is, okay, I don't know if I'm in the right situation here with this organization, so therefore I'm going to take a look at other spots that I want to go that I think it would be a better fit. Or, you know, whatever reason it is they have, it could be some small reason. It could be obviously a huge reason. But at the end of the day, it's just about finding the right fit and about being a win-win situation for everybody, right? You can have trades that are great for both teams. You can have trades that are one-sided also, and one team gets screwed, the other one's, you know, ends up making, taking you to the cleaners. But at the same time, there are scenarios, right, Ian, that present themselves where one player, you know, might have a couple other options besides the team you're actually playing on that are actually better for you. So no, I think it's fine. And I mean, again, I keep going back to this. So, this whole thing with Kevin Durant is completely different because he has these redonkulous
notions
that the team has. First of all, he has a misperception of what his actual power is. I don't care if you were Michael Jordan. Well, maybe Michael Jordan might have had that, or Magic Johnson, or someone like that. but the point being is that, in that situation, Kevin Durant, you're one of the best players in the league. You're one of the best players in the world right now. Yes. But in that organization right now with the Brooklyn Nets, you haven't won a championship. You don't have the cred to do that, to pull this off. So you're not Michael Jordan or Magic with the Lakers, or even players that won championships and like Steph Curry in Golden State. You don't have that cred when it comes to that.
So you don't think Kevin Durant has that cred?
I don't think he does. No, absolutely not. He's been on championship teams, but as Ian pointed out, you had to go to Golden State.
Player,
you went to the enemy and you joined the enemy to win a championship.
All right, but he's still been known as one of the best players in the league.
Well, there's
for a
no
long
question about
right
that.
Now.
There's so no question about that.
Easily. I mean, from I think
the talent, you do have that because you're a perennial all-star. You're one of the best players in the league. So I still think he has that power.
Well, I would counter this by saying this, Quan, right? Is he going to get the end result here that he wants? Is he going to get Steve Nash fired?
Is he
going to get the GM fired?
So,
and then
I think
that's
so
really quick. Those are prerequisites for him to stay on the team.
One second,
yeah, those are prerequisites for him to stay there in Brooklyn. So if he gets it done, then I mean, who's to say he's not going to be happy just because those guys are gone? Now he's just going to stay, and then.
But what the owner said is we're going to do what's best for the Brooklyn Nets, right?
Yeah,
that was the end of his statement. Yes. A lot of people are interpreting that in so many different ways. I look at it like you have to sit down and look. Maybe this is best for the Brooklyn Nets is to keep KD because we're going to have him for 4 years. We could let KD go and Steve Nash might be a horrible coach the next 2 years and we're still going to have to fire him and Sean Marks because they're doing a horrible job. And then going back, you mentioned Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson got a coach fired. He got Paul Westhead fired and he said, trade me or trade the coach. That's exactly what he said. So this stuff has been going on for a long time. Kobe said, trade me. He didn't say fire the coach or trade me, but he said, trade me. And same thing happened. Lakers didn't budge. They showed some of the trade options and Kobe looked at those trade options like, okay, I'll stay here. And then Lakers though did something and went out and got Pau Gasol that year to appease Kobe. So that's all Brooklyn has to do. If they want to keep Durant, you keep him there, and then you work to make that team better. Whether that be bringing Ben Simmons and hoping he plays good and bringing Kyrie back and just keeping that core together, and then they win, because winning will solve all the problems.
So do you think it's more likely that basically they make a major trade for another piece versus trading KD away to another team? Because
I think they need to hope that Ben Simmons is good and Kyrie Irving is good and they can go deep into the playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, and keep them all together. Because in my eyes, the team they have right now is still one of the best teams in the East if everybody plays, which is the big issue that we deal with all the time.
So Quan brought up these instances, right? And he's 100% correct. And Jose points out, by the way, on there that it's a great point. But let me bounce this off you. You guys would both agree with me, right? And everybody out there watching would agree with me. This is taking it, this is bumping it up a step further, what Kevin Durant's doing. He's not just trying to get a coach fired, all right? He's trying to get basically the entire upper man, the GM and the coach fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit different than the Kobe situation, a little bit different than what Magic was doing back in the 80s, by the way, a different era where it was Magic Johnson. I mean, we're talking back then, it was Magic and Bird were basically trying to save the NBA.
Yeah.
So it was understandable that Magic Johnson, especially, that Laker team, they were trying to make a transition to championship basketball. And he was the part of that. It was the back end of the Kareem era. So, I mean, it was a little bit different, I mean, as opposed to what the outrageous demands that Kevin Durant is making here. regarding both the GM and the coach. I mean, it's just, to me, it's more of a step up of ridiculousness.
So real quick,
from his standpoint,
so is it possible that he saw kind of what LeBron did? LeBron never made the ultimatum, right, to fire the coaches and the GMs over in the Laker organization, but he did kind of handpick who he wanted as his coach and GM, right? So do you think that that kind of had to do with him thinking that he might have this power because he assimilates himself with the talent credibility of someone like LeBron? That
there's no doubt about it. There's no question about it.
LeBron was able to do it. He didn't make the ultimatum. He didn't say it. I'm the bad guy for saying it. But do you think that had to do with him thinking that I have that power. I can do this.
I don't think there's any question whatsoever, Ian. Yes, that he did think he had. And he does, because he made it. Because he put that, I tossed that out there. He made it. So there's no doubt that he believes that he's on the level, as Quan and you and I are talking about, of a guy like a LeBron James or in Mike, what I brought up, Magic Johnson and Jordan and all these guys. He absolutely believes he's on the level with those guys.
Let me tell you guys the difference between LeBron and Kevin Durant. LeBron's asked for the same exact things. He has a team behind him that does the asking, though. So it doesn't look like him. It looks like Clutch Sports.
Yeah.
And they do it quietly. Kevin Durant is doing this loudly to make some noise, and whoever leaked it helped make it loud. But LeBron has been very smart in his career by having a team do the dirty work for him, so it doesn't go back and reflect on him.
I would agree with you, but I would also push back. Again, he hasn't asked to get Rob Pelinka fired. He hasn't said, "Oh, I want Pelinka out of there." So
not in this case.
I've never heard anything come out in the media regarding LeBron James and the Lakers about him saying, I want these coaches gone. I want this coach gone.
Not with the Lakers, because he's done enough. He's won enough. Right, yeah. So he doesn't, he's not there anymore.
Yeah. Well, in the younger years, he
fired four coaches on Cleveland.
Yeah. And you said the organization, basically covered his backside when it came to that. His organization is the one that have done that. Look, that's how it's, and that's how it's been done for years.
And Kevin Durant's just been sloppy his whole career with, everything he does.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the end game is, Ian? What happens here? What's going to go down? Is he going to be wearing a Brooklyn Nets uniform when we suit things up here in 2022-23?
I think he's a Net. I think Quan had a great point. I think that's a very great possibility of them bringing in another player to kind of appease him. But I actually do think that Steve Nash getting fired is probably the most likely outcome here. I don't see them firing Sean Marks. That doesn't seem like a plausible thing for them as an organizational standpoint. It sets a really bad precedent, but I can see them getting rid of Steve Nash, even though he's only been there a short while. But I think they're going to try to appease Kevin Durant. We'll see if it works. I don't think anyone's going to give up what the Nets want for him, though. So I do think he's in the Nets uniform come the season.
I think there's, I don't know if it's necessarily a description of a change of heart, or I just think that Kevin's going to be in a Brooklyn Nets uniform, and it could very well be a possibility that Steve Nash is still the head coach there, because to me, here's the deal. The Brooklyn Nets will look horrible if they fire Steve Nash. The guy's been there, 2 years, like you guys pointed out. He hasn't even got a chance to start. It just shows your organization.
They didn't trade like five or six.
Your organization's soft if you bounce your coach because your star player, in this situation I'm talking about. Yeah. This isn't a Nets team that's won a title.
People don't care when coaches get fired, though. You care for a week and then you forget about who that coach was.
No, I mean,
there was a coach in the middle of a season with a team on the brink of winning an NBA championship that got fired because the players wanted Pat Riley to fire him, and Pat Riley came down, fired him, even though they had the best record in the league, were about to win a championship. So with 3 months left in the season, going into the playoffs when they were going to win a championship, Stan Van Gundy said, "I want to spend more time with my family." No, you got fired because Shaq wanted you to get fired. It happens all the time. We forget about the coaches, unless you're a great all-time coach. If it was Pat Riley that he wanted fired, hell no, we're trading you tomorrow to China Basketball League. But being a coach that we don't care about Steve Nash as a coach, we'll forget about him in a week.
Yeah, I'm just saying, guys, the grass is always greener on the other side. We haven't even talked about, okay, so they fire Steve Nash, who do you bring in? We haven't even talked about that. So, it's, again, you brought up a situation. a team in the Miami Heat. They were right there. They were. It was a good team. I mean, there's a perception that the Nets are a team that's right there. But by the way, they play in the same conference as the Boston Celtics, the defending Eastern Conference champion. They play in the same conference as the Milwaukee Bucks. They play in the same conference as Joel Embiid and the Sixers. I mean, it's not like we're saying, oh yeah, this is a team that's destined for greatness, even with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving when he's on the team last year. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think the organization would look futile and they would look pathetic if they just adhered to his demand to fire Steve Nash after just two seasons, and it makes the Nets look terrible. I think Kwan's point notwithstanding, he makes a solid point. I think there's a possibility. Look, this is what I feel. I think he's going to be wearing a Nets uniform. I think there's going to be, I don't want to say miraculous, but there's going to be a change of frame of mind from Kevin Durant in the next couple months, and he's going to end up in uniform, and it's going to be about Steve Nash. How does he deal with this? How does Steve Nash deal with this if he is back, in fact, the head coach going into this season? He's got to work some magic. He's got to be able to deal with this in a positive way and move forward positively so that Brooklyn Nets can be a contender in the Eastern Conference, which is what everybody expects of them.
Steve Nash blame sucks because it's not his fault. Harden was out of shape and fat. It's not his fault Kevin Durant got hurt.
Injured.
It's not his fault that Ben Simmons was due back March 10th and still hasn't come back. It's not his fault that the Nets decided that Kyrie Irving couldn't play road games until the end of the season. So you can't.
No doubt.
He's done what he has had to do.
That was Sean Marks with the Ben Simmons, though. He should have known. As an organization, they should have known. They traded for him. They did their physicals. They knew. They talked to him. That was their fault.
So I would cut Sean Marks before I would cut Steve Nash.
Yes, but I think as an organization, again, I don't see that happening. Moving on, going back to Roquan Smith, NFL, right? Where do you see a good landing spot for him, right? He is he's all pro, right? He's Pro Bowl, all pro. Dude's amazing. He had 14 sacks, one defensive touchdown, I think, last year. So where do you think is the best fit? Or do you think that Ryan Pace is correct and they go in and they actually pay him what he's worth?
Well, you look at landing spots, you're going to probably look away from the NFC North, right? Because you're not going to want to do it in division team, and it's going to be very problematic for example, would send him to Green Bay or someplace like that. The usual suspects in the AFC, though, and I would put Miami into that. I would throw the Dolphins in there. I think that would be a great fit for him.
I think they're going all in.
Yeah, and people will talk about the Patriots, I guess. I mean, it's questionable. I think the Patriots are taking a step back this year.
I mean, it is a Belichick kind of
player.
You know
what I'm saying.
Like, it is a Belichick type of player,
but they're
not in any position to make a move like that because they're not anywhere close to contending again. They don't have Tom Brady, and the team just doesn't click the same way with Mac Jones yet. We'll see this year if they put it all together, but yeah, they're not in that position. A team I actually really like for them, for him to go to, is the Lions.
Yeah.
I think that the Lions are in the middle of a culture change, as we've seen a little bit on Hard Knock and the videos coming out. They're really kind of promoting this culture change, right? But I think that they need a solid linebacker to solidify that defensive line. They have Aiden Hutchinson now. So they do have some pieces there, but like a really good linebacker like Roquan Smith would really solidify the defensive line, in my opinion.
I would agree with that without question. From a football standpoint, it would be a solid fit with Aaron Glenn and his defense in Detroit and with some of the young players they have. But again, as I pointed out, it's in division. And the Bears are not looking to do the Detroit Lions any favors whatsoever. And a player that caliber, right, Ian and Kwan?
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if they would find all kinds of ways to send him to another team and look for value from other teams. Let me toss out an intriguing one for you guys. And by the way, they're a Super Bowl contender, the Baltimore Ravens. Look, you like Patrick
Queen,
you like
contender, huh? That's a little high praise.
The Baltimore Ravens, yeah, I would call them a Super Bowl contender.
With what offense?
Well, I mean, it's...
I mean...
Lamar Jackson, okay, and yeah, a little bit more Lamar Jackson.
Just
and a little
Lamar
bit
Jackson.
More Lamar Jackson. And
J.K.
And
Dobbins
defense.
On the pup list. And let's see. They don't have Marquise Brown, so they have a unproven Rashad Bateman. Okay.
All right, so Ian doesn't think that
he couldn't
the
stay.
Ravens
he couldn't
are
stay
valid,
on the field completely, but contender. Okay, you know... I guess.
Ian's not on board with my Ravens
so
or Super Bowl contender.
Every pass is going to go to Mark Andrews, I guess.
I didn't say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the AFC. But the point being is that I think Roquan would be a good fit there in Baltimore.
He would. I mean, in terms of defense, they've always had a really stout defense, so it would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. However, I just don't. I don't see that being a legitimate place. Now, I do see... I don't know if they have the pieces to acquire him, but I think Bills would be a great place too. I know they just picked up Von Miller, but Von Miller and Roquan Smith, goodness gracious.
Oh my
God. Could you even
see,
imagine?
Now you're getting into the not fair territory.
Exactly.
Aren't you?
A little greedy, I'd presume, but.
You're getting into the, you know, San Francisco 49ers mid 2010s when they're, you know, they had a linebacking core that was just ridiculous.
But
and you had multiple guys.
I would love that. So if he ended up in Buffalo,
first of all, it'd be a windfall for him. Oh. I mean, the guy would be like, "Oh, I'm going from the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl favorites in the Buffalo Bills." That'd be intriguing to say the least if that ever happened.
I think it'd be interesting. I think it'd be a terror to face. I really do. The thing is, they might actually have the pieces to do it though. So because they have a pretty good team built around Josh Allen, so they don't necessarily have to like have really high draft picks coming up because they kind of already built this team, right? And they're young, so I think it's a possibility. I think the Bills are looking for anything that can push them over the Chiefs and push them over anyone in that, you know, the Bengals, because they went to the Super Bowl. So I definitely think that would help. I think that secondary would immediately become one of the best secondaries in football.
Jose just chimes in, says, send him to my Jets! Exclamation point. Laughing emoji. All right, so you brought it up, Ian. What do you guys think? He's an intriguing and he's a polarizing guy in some ways. And Kareem Hunt, obviously, running back for the Cleveland Browns. You talked about it. It'd be just fine for the Cleveland Browns if Nick Chubb was just the RB1. Yep. And you have the backups there that are pretty solid as well, too. And there's a lot of teams that could use the talents of Kareem Hunt. We understand the off-field issues that go on. But there are in my opinion, there's, and when I mean handful, I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 teams that would benefit greatly by Kareem Hunt on the field, my Detroit Lions being one of them, and they would be one of the first, even with DeAndre Swift, we'd probably be one of the first to take a look at him. I also think it would be interesting if Kwan's San Francisco 49ers were in on that with Kareem Hunt. Do you think
maybe
that the Browns pull the trigger here and he's actually not wearing a Browns uniform?
So I think they do. Nick Chubb has, yes, he's had a couple of injuries throughout his career, but for the most part, he's been pretty sturdy, right? And he's been shown, like, he's been able to show that he can carry that workhorse workload. So I think that is very possible. Kareem Hunt, I don't think, was ever supposed to be, like, a forever thing in Cleveland. So I definitely don't see the organization feeling like this is a piece that we absolutely have to keep. I think the price has to be right, though, because I think the value that he gives to that organization, right, as a dual running back scheme that they like to run, that they would want at least probably a third round pick. So we'll see if people still put that type of value on him. Remember, he hasn't been that RB1 since the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really seen him in that capacity for a while. Where I think that, going back to it, I think that it is kind of a Bill Belichick move, but I do think that in terms of Kareem being happy and I think the organization being happy, I think the Patriots would make a lot of sense here. They have Stevenson, they have Damian Harris, mm-hmm. but Damian Harris has not been healthy. So they kind of have to... work around that, and I think that Kareem Hunt would be an excellent piece to that, and I think that he would be able to supplement surplant basically Stevenson as the RB1 there, and I think that Mac Jones having that type of workhorse and pass catching ability in the run game would monumentally benefit him, especially in his development.
Jose chiming in on a Facebook Live. Hunt is a woman beater. He shouldn't even be in the league. I wouldn't pay him a dime. He's lucky to have a job. Let him walk. The hell with him. A little bit of rant there for Jose. And look, Jose, a lot of us agree with your sentiment when it comes to Kareem Hunt off the field. I don't think he's a great guy. I think there are issues there, without question. But I'll take a timeout as far as you know the NFL, Jose, and Ian,
they
and
just
Kwan.
Signed, they
you know
just
the
signed
NFL
Deshaun
is,
Watson to $230 million.
The guy's been in Cleveland for, what, four years now? And I'm not saying that he's absolved of all those things off the field that he's dealt with. I'm just saying from a football standpoint and in the NFL, the guy's going to get a gig. You know, there's been plenty of bad people that have played in the NFL and that continue to play in the NFL and had a chance to continue their career in the NFL even after incidents like this. So I would just say that, yeah, we're on the same page as you are, Jose, but like, you know, the NFL,
he's
the
going
way
to get
it is.
Another job.
He's going to get a gig.
He's talented enough. He's proven that he's talented enough in any capacity that you really put him. He has proven that he can be an RB1. He has also proven that he's a good RB2, RB3. Yeah. So there's going to be a very strong market for him, I believe. Going into these NFL injuries, this has been a crazy offseason in moves, but not just in moves. But if you look at the history of injuries just in the last week or so, teams are going to be hurting come season, aren't they?
Especially a certain team, right, Ian, that is less than 2 years removed from being a Super Bowl champion and has a quarterback that is floating up in the age category that I'm in. Okay, and obviously I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right, Ian? Yeah.
Buccaneers. So Ryan Jensen, their Pro Bowl center, tore his ACL earlier this week. Well, today in joint practice, their backup, I believe Haney, also was carted off the field. They don't know the severity of his injury. They do know that Jensen is most likely going to be completely out for the entire season. ACLs, people do come back sooner, but I highly doubt that in this case. Not for an offensive lineman, especially not for a center. But and Wirth earlier this week also, I think, got carted off. I think he was okay, but he's nursing a lower leg injury. So that offensive line is already starting to get very banged up. So Kwan is telling us that we have a caller. So tell us where you're from.
What's up, fellas?
How's it going?
I know I'm on vacation, but I had to call you guys.
He's still listening, which is beautiful. We love it.
I can't stay away. I can't stay away.
Aren't you supposed to be on a beach somewhere?
He probably is on a beach somewhere. He might have his phone in his hand on the beach.
Check this out. I'm inside my room. I'm right outside the beach. It is a little rainy right now, but it's 97 degrees and humid, so I can still go outside if I want.
Yeah.
But I'm watching you guys and I'm listening. And I'm sorry. You touched the nerve. You talked about Kareem Hunt, and I had to mention this. I had to mention this, guys.
Yeah.
If we're talking about a guy in Deshaun Watson, right, that technically has not been charged with anything, and stuff has been cleared out of court, paid for, whatever it is, and there's only one case that's still pending. The other case has fallen out of court because the person decided to let it go. But yet we have a videotape of a guy beating the crap out of a female. I don't care if the female put his hands on him or not. And yet the guy still has a job and he never got suspended or anything, or nothing happened the way that it did with Deshaun Watson. I mean, come on, guys. This is
so Jose, we're not disagreeing with you. We are on your page. We are in your camp. We're just pointing out the reality of what it is today.
It's horrible.
We're not disagreeing.
So, Jose, you are bringing...
By the way, you're comparing two different things, by the way. Those are two different situations. So Deshaun Watson thing's different than Kareem Hunt.
What I'm saying is it just proves to you how screwed up sports has become and how certain guys have leverage. How does a guy that we know did what he did, and there's a video, have the right to say, pay me? You're lucky to even have a job. Shut up and play and take your contract. Accept what's given to you and keep moving forward. Prove to people that you deserve what you get and let the organization give it to you. You do not have the right to ask for anything. In my opinion,
Jose, his argument, though, would be what he's done with the Browns in the last, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Since the incident took place.
Not only that, Jose, but remember, he was placed on the commissioner's exempt list for what? It was almost a full year, was it not? Wasn't it like
he
got
suspended?
Yeah.
He was suspended 8 games.
So that's another thing, too, right, Jose? People would say, hey, he faced the music, and he paid his price also.
I'm not disagreeing that what he did is horrible, Jose.
If that's the case, why doesn't Rice have a job in the NFL? Why didn't Rice ever get a job back in the NFL as a running back?
Hold on.
Him and his wife cleared it up. Him and his wife were like, okay, we're fine, this, that, whatever. They did what they did. They did things in the community. He never got a job again.
I think it was a combination. I'll tell you why I don't think he had a job. It was a combination.
He was older.
He was older than Kareem Hunt, and he just wasn't as good as Kareem Hunt, right? Kareem Hunt's a better running back. Ray Rice was in his younger career, he was an outstanding running back, right? But I think that was a combination. And also, maybe it was a little different time. There's other reasons. There was a combination of reasons why Ray Rice
and that
didn't
knockout
get a shot.
Was a little bit harder on video to watch than Kareem Hunt's, kicks. To be honest,
right?
It was, but what he did was disgusting. But again, he was suspended. He's been on the Browns for a while now, mm-hmm. and he hasn't really. I don't think there's any issue since that incident. And again, a horrible incident. But like you said, face the music. He hasn't had anything since. I think he will get a job again. And
she should have just made him a sandwich. I mean, none of this would happen.
She should have just made him a sandwich.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look. I think I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to get off the air, and I'm going to let you guys finish up. But look, I think Kareem Hunt needs to shut up, take a back seat, play. If they pay you, they pay you. You're going to get what you deserve. You don't have the right to ask for anything after what you did. And if we're being honest, look at the stats, guys. It's not on him. It's also Nick Chubb. It's been a power combination in Cleveland with both of them. When they both got hurt and went down, the offense went down. We know that. So it hasn't all been Kareem Hunt. So for Kareem Hunt to ask for money, it to me is ridiculous. Now with Smith, I'm going to throw it out there and finish it up with this, guys. Smith deserves it. Third best linebacker in the league, second all-pro. He's right behind two big names. I forgot what they were. Pay the guy. He deserves it. I just think that the regime in Chicago is negative, doesn't want to spend some money. They need to find a way to do something on defense because offensively, we know that they're not giving anything to Justin Fields. But guys, keep doing your thing. I appreciate you guys. I'll see you next week. I'm out. Peace.
Have fun. Be safe, Jose, down there in Mexico, south of the border.
Have a good time,
ripping
man.
It up. He had to go on a rant, and he was fired up. Look, we get it. We understand the sentiment. And again, like I point out, you and I, a lot of us have very much the same sentiment as far as him. And that huge mistake that he made, it was huge. But the NFL and the powers that be as far as teams and GMs still look at him as a viable talent. And so he will probably get an opportunity, and I think he's definitely getting an opportunity. And we'll see how that all shakes out, right, Ian?
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
but getting back to Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, Tampa Bay. So two of their starting linemen and one of their second string has already been basically hurt, right?
Jeff Saturday, are you out there? We might need to call some old centers to get him back out on the field.
Absolutely.
For the Bucs.
And they're not the only ones. I mean, if you really look at it, okay, so Jakeem Grant, the Browns all-pro return man, he tore his Achilles yesterday. So that's a huge loss.
Broncos.
Broncos
had
Broncos,
some injuries.
Tim Patrick tore his ACL. I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at all these. Melvin Gordon is now out of practice with a foot injury. Darren Waller hasn't played, hasn't practiced for now. I think it's like 6 or 7 practices. They're not necessarily disclosing exactly what's wrong with him. And then the Browns fear that, Achilles. Becton is out for a year with a fractured kneecap. So, and now Jameis Winston, that's a big one that just went on the injury report. He has he avoided a serious injury, but he still sprained his foot. So they're saying now he won't play in the preseason opener, but that's one of those injuries where, especially with a mobile quarterback, like that could hinder him throughout this year, and especially since I think their season kind of rides on Jameis Winston.
And you're talking about a position that's much talked about, obviously, in the signal caller, and what has come up in the past 48 hours since the situation with Jameis Winston went down, in New Orleans. That's the discussion of Jimmy Garoppolo and a possible landing spot there. Look, I understand that, you know, it caused a little bit of an issue because Jameis Winston essentially penciled in as a starter there, and therefore you would really stir things up, right, from your locker room standpoint. If you bring in someone like Jimmy G, you'd most likely have a really good chance of taking his job, and which would completely change what was expected of the New Orleans Saints this season, given you put Jimmy G in there with, you know, that young receiving core and the likes that, and the quality backs they have in that backfield. Would be pretty fun to watch. But obviously, this, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But the point being,
I think that would be a good fit, yeah, if they needed something. But I don't think that's where Jimmy G wants to go. And yeah, Shanahan has said that, and John Lynch has said that, basically they're allowing Jimmy G to pursue his own trade in a sense. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily actively doing it for him. They're allowing him and his agent to kind of reach out to these teams and see what's the best fit for him. So that's... It could work out, but I don't think Jimmy G wants to be a backup. I think he's really looking somewhere where he can be a starter. Unfortunately, starter jobs right now are little to none. So definitely an impossibility there. So do you think these injuries, though, are changing the way that head coaches are going to approach this preseason opener on Friday?
Oh, they always do. It's a continuous process when you're talking about coaching staffs in the preseason. We talked about this before many times. What's the preseason for most coaches, for when you're talking about, it's for the back three quarters of the roster.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's about finding
making
what
the
your
cuts,
depth chart's
right?
going to be. It's about finding that diamond in the rough. You brought up Darren Waller, a guy like that. It's about, you know, it's about trying to improve the backside of your team, because let's be straight up and honest about it. Most of the guys, when it comes to the big time starters or even backups, are pretty much set. I mean, you're going to have some movement, obviously. You've got a situation in Pittsburgh where there's, you know, you've got essentially a three-way battle for the quarterback position there with Mitch, and apparently Mitch Trubisky has pulled ahead a little bit. Quite a bit ahead from Kenny Pickett as well as Mason Rudolph there. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that, yeah, it's about finding depth in your depth chart for coaches. And it's going to be a fluid situation. And as you just described, Ian, when you have a plethora of injuries across the board for some of these teams, and some much more significant than others, obviously, it's the preseason. There's a reason why preseason exists. A lot of people will, you know, not be, a lot of people don't want to give any credence to the preseason. Just say, well, you know, and a lot of people will say, hey, just bounce it down to two games. It should just be a dress rehearsal, basically, for all the starters and backups, which, you know, you can make a case for that.
Yeah.
But as it sits right now, there's four games in the preseason.
I think they shortened it to three, no?
Oh, is it three now?
Yeah.
Okay, so they shortened it to three. But the point being is that it is extended for a reason, and the reason is to build a depth chart.
Absolutely. And there are some teams that I'm actually very interested to see, some of those young players as well as back-end players. I'm intrigued. I rarely do watch the preseason because there's really no reason for football other than football's back, yeah, right? But I am very excited to. There's a lot of young talent in this league now, and there's a lot of guys that are fourth, fifth, especially with the whole COVID thing, right? That maybe shouldn't have fallen that far, but we're going to be able to see them in the preseason where we might not see them right away in the regular games. Are there any games in particular this weekend that you're very interested in seeing?
Well, obviously, being a Detroit Lions fan, I'm focused, and I was going to toss this out to you guys. Are you guys Hard Knocks? Are you guys into the Hard Knocks, Ian and Quan? Is that your thing?
I haven't watched too much of it, but I have seen a couple of the clips, and it's intriguing. It might actually have me watching it this season.
Season debut last night, gentlemen. Detroit Lions are the featured team this year, and it was a highlight last night was our second pick overall, Aiden Hutchinson, you brought up earlier in the show, Ian, who's going to be one of the fixtures on our defense, had a solid rookie rendition of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. The video's going all over the place. And look, on social media, obviously, when you're on Twitter and all these spots, you get a lot of people that are loving it. So there's a lot of people chiming in that are not Detroit Lions fans, right? They love the show Hard Knocks, and they like you know, the whole exposure of that. But they're all talking about, oh, now the Lions are my second favorite team. And they're just, you know, waxing poetic about Dan Campbell, our head coach. And for a few weeks now, there's been people out there when it comes to betting angles, when it comes to futures and stuff. There's been a lot of people that are credible talking about how the Lions are going over their win total.
So,
and I'm telling you, Ian,
coach just jumped up from 1,600 to 1,200 in coach of the year
odds. I know this, and it's so harsh because as a true Detroit Lion fan who has seen, what, 5-6 playoff games since we last won a playoff game in 1991. Over 30 years since we've won a playoff game and seen, you know, the handful of postseason games that we've lost all of them. It's just so hard. We are very pessimistic as Lions fans to get amped up.
You have to be.
Yes, I get it. I love Hard Knocks. I think it's going to be fun to watch this because I'm a Lions fan. It's going to be fun to watch. Dan Campbell's a lunatic. Okay, he has all these quotes. He has all these, you know, he's very demonstrative. He's a character. He's a personality. Hasn't won anything yet. Okay, as a head coach, he hasn't done anything yet. But people get fired up.
Except bite kneecaps off, apparently.
And this year more than others because they're being exposed on a big stage, which is Hard Knocks on HBO, which everybody watches every year. So I think it's kind of getting blown out of proportion because there is a very good chance, Ian, a very good chance that the Lions could absolutely be a 5-12 team.
Absolutely.
Or a 6-11 team. It's going to be overhype over a bunch of nothing. That's what I think.
People forget this is a team that did not win a postseason game with Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford and Golden Tate. So, I don't have high expectations for this team. I do like Dan Campbell. I do think that he is a culture changer. I do think that he is the right guy for that city. So, we'll see in coming years what happens. But right now, all the press is on them. Obviously, it's going to be their darling. But I just think that they're going to let everyone down.
Ian, the focus should be on a team that's going to break the other long streak, and that's the Buffalo Bills. Can they finally get off the schneid and win a Super Bowl? That, to me, should be the focus.
Five losses.
Yes,
five
losses. All those Super Bowls, they were right there. You had some dramatic losses in the Super Bowl. That, to me, should be like the number one theme of the season. It shouldn't be, can some of these upstarts or wannabe upstart teams like the Cleveland Browns or the Detroit Lions or some of these other teams, are they going to be able to make a step up where they're actually competitive when it comes to the playoffs? That's just my own personal opinion. So, love my Lions. Super cool that we're on Hard Knocks. But let's not get carried away and go nuts and start talking about them possibly winning. There's people that are betting them to win the division, Ian. Win the division.
The division.
And look, I get it. There's some teams that are not good in that division. A team like the Chicago Bears, right? Not good.
But have the Vikings.
They're not better than the Vikings or the
Packers.
Even the Packers. Packers lost the best arguably the best wide receiver in football. And they're still better than the Lions.
I have been hearing excellent things about Romeo Doubs coming out of Nevada. Yeah. So that'll be something that I'm actually going to be paying attention to the preseason. I think that's actually one of the things that I'm most interested in is George Pickens with the Steelers, Romeo Doubs, some of these late round receivers that from camp have been performing exceeding expectations and looking like they're going to be the number one wide receiver, but we're going to see first action in the preseason. Interesting note, and this is going to be my final thought, right? So Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, right? He admitted that he has been taking a psychedelic tea that has a psychedelic drug in it called DMT, right? Usually. And that's what he attributes to his MVP and self-love, right? The NFL came out and said, even though it's a Schedule 1 drug, that it does not violate the drug policy. And what's interesting about that is that you have athletes like DeAndre Hopkins that had trace substance of something that might have been steroids, and all of a sudden he's suspended without an appeal, really, for 6 games. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers does it, and it's just like, no big deal. He's taking LSD on the side. I don't like it. I think that they should definitely look into it. And he should probably get tested and see if there is any trace substance in his system, because if there is, then he definitely needs a suspension, just like everyone else.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, right? I mean, it's, to me, this is pretty much cut and dry. Yeah. If there's a violation here of Schedule 1 drug, or you're using it, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're Aaron Rodgers or if you're the guy that's on the scout team. It doesn't make any difference. So, yeah, if they need to make sure that they follow the procedures that are deemed necessary when it comes to the NFL and handle this. But as far as the story goes, this is par for the course, right? It's Aaron Rodgers. He's a Bay Area guy. He's, you know, that it's San Francisco. He's, you know, I mean, he's from that area. It doesn't shock me whatsoever that he'd be looking at quote unquote experimental type of substances to dive into that he, you know, that thinks it would have
nothing's going
would be,
come
would be
this
beneficial to him in any way, shape, or form. Not shocking to me at all. It's Aaron Rodgers, Bay Area guy. Come on, not a shock. But yeah, to your point though, if there is anything nefarious or illegal, or you know, or would be deemed not appropriate for the NFL from that standpoint, yeah, then yeah, you should be punished and accordingly.
Absolutely,
that's it. That's bottom line.
You have any final thoughts, Chris?
I'm just amped up to catch some preseason action this week. Had a chance to see the Las Vegas Aces get another win last night. By the way, Darren Waller was there in attendance. So you talked about him as far as the question of whether or not Darren Waller was going to be hurt. He didn't look hurt to me. He looked fine.
Does he look injured, or does he look like he wants a contract
extension?
Checking
out his girl, Kelsey Plum, on the court, tearing it up, making threes. So it didn't.
He's worn out sexually.
Exactly. Maybe he is a little bit fatigued from off the field type of developing situations. But other than that, I think he's going to be fine. So yeah, he was in attendance last night, and I'm getting fired up for college football too, as well, guys. As absolutely, we have, we're right on the doorstep. College football actually starts before the NFL. You're going to have first week of college football be the last week of August. So it's sneaking up on us real quick. And it's always great, Ian, to join you here on Straight Bet Sports, as well as Quan handling things. And Jose hopefully gets back safe and quick, and he'll have some stories from his time down in Mexico.
There's always an NFL quarterback overreaction the first preseason game.
Yeah.
Which one of these young quarterbacks, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, which one of them is
it's
going to be
Kenny
the overreaction?
Pickett in Pittsburgh. Are you kidding me? Yes, because Kenny Pickett probably is going to get the most time.
That's true.
You know, because I think something about Mason Rudolph wasn't even going to play in the first game, I think, or wasn't going to get limited time or whatever. So
I think it's going to be
Kenny Pickett.
I think it's going to be Matt Corral. And the reason why is because the two people he's going up against, and he's probably going to get a good chunk of it. I know that Baker and Sam, because they're not the starter, might get some. But I think Matt Corral is going to step on the field and wow us with a couple of his throws that a lot of that organization and the fans from that organization are going to be clamoring for him to become the quarterback.
So you almost think there's going to be an aspect of he's got nothing to lose, because all anybody's absolutely been talking about, obviously, is the battle, the two-way battle between who's going to be the starting quarterback, and he's just kind of the back burner. Yes, and basically from a psychological standpoint, no one thinks he has a chance. So you think it's going to be fly by the seat of your pants, Matt Corral and Carolina.
Absolutely.
Wow.
All right. So Ian B, Chris Wynn, this is Straight Bet Sports. Make sure that you follow us, Ian B_sports. Chris, let them know where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Christian Wynn. Also Christian W. Wynn on Facebook, and CWynn77. On Instagram as well too. I'll have a chance to jump on the airwaves. I know. Just loaded up with hashtags everywhere, right, Quan? It's everywhere. And all over the airwaves here in Las Vegas. A lot of fun. All right.
Straight Bet Sports. We'll see you next week. Hopefully Jose will be in the studio unless something happens with his flight in Mexico. But next time, make sure you follow.